Hi, family. My name is Lucy, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hey, Lucy.
And first and foremost, I want to thank the Houston Area Convention for asking me to come down and share. And I also want to congratulate them on their 14 years, you know. I want to say thank you to all the trusted servants that are involved. Obviously, they're not all in here, but at some point, I guess they listen to the recording and to say, you know, it's important to do service in here and stay committed. We save lives. We help people. We save people's lives, right? And the theme of this convention is nice, an awakening of the spirit, right? And I have a paragraph that was given to me, right? And my spirit has awakened as a result of being in this fellowship, as a result of doing the work, right? I didn't have a spirit when I came in here. I didn't know the difference between what was going on inside of me, what was going on outside of me, as I had a hole in my soul, right, like we say. And all I did was use, you know. And I just want to, like, before I get into all of this, I wanted for the newcomer, right, to understand that I didn't come in here understanding any of this, right, but I had to put some time and experience. Some experiences that occur in my life helped me to understand where I was going and where I needed to go, most importantly, right? I just didn't know how to get there. All I needed was that one person, right, to reach out to me that was living with some spiritual principles, that had already been here with some great experience, that had their own life experiences, that although our stories were not alike, our common goals were alike, right? We both suffered from a disease called addiction, right? A disease that destroyed my life, that I had lost all hope. I had lost my child. I lost my job. I lost everything. At the end, I lost my shoes. Okay, I would come home and just for the, you know, the newer members, you know, so you can identify, you know, I remember there were days that I would come home and I would have one shoe and I just thought I lost it around the house, but there were days where I would wake up and I would like, I think I lost one. And my mother would always say, you need to throw out all those shoes. There was a lot of shoes, I gotta say. And I said, why is it? Because you never have another. There's no pairs. And I didn't even know what the heck happened to them because I was staying all over the place. But I came in here broken with a lost spirit. I had no connection with a spirit in here. I mean, when I came in here, there was no God, there was no godly things going on in my home. There was nothing spiritual going on. So there was no belief system, brother said, right? There was no belief system. Nobody gave me an indication that there was something, a better way to live, right? Everybody, my mother cheated. She was a promiscuous woman. My sisters were very envious, jealous, fighting. I mean, all of these things that were so negative occurred in my home. I used a lot of drugs. And as a result of that, I ended up in an institution because I just couldn't do it anymore. And when I came out of there, I got myself a sponsor and I got guided through that, right? And the topic for me, given to me was from page 80 in The Living Clean. And it says, instead of chasing empty goals, today we are driven by a sense of purpose. Gratitude in action is an engine for change. And as we carry the message, our own lives are transformed. And it gives me like I get like a sense, like this feeling inside, even in reading this passage, because I have a passion for this fellowship. My drive in here, right? Because it talks about an engine, right? I was asking my husband something about it, and all I thought was my drive, right? Like a vehicle, like my drive, like I'm motivated to just continue to do what I was taught here, right? Because that one person that came to me and gave me what I am doing today, right, giving it back, has helped me. They have no idea how they changed my life. You know, they have no idea. And unfortunately for them, they went back out. But I'm still here and I'm able to give this back to somebody else, you know, for the still sick and suffering addict, right, that needs to hear this message, right? I had no idea that it would be my son one day. I had no idea that it would be my oldest daughter, my firstborn child. I just knew I dragged her through my addiction and that's all I knew, you know. And so, you know, using days, right? My using days was my primary purpose in life, right? My primary purpose then was to get up in the morning and just go use, and just that was all I was able to do. That's all I knew. Everybody use. That's all I knew. Coming here, it changed that whole thing, right? And I want to go. So I want to go into this because in the beginning, for you know, newcomers, it talks about empty, lost, and being dead, right? And in that passage, right, in feeling the emptiness, right, I was not out. I used because I needed to escape from that. I needed to escape from where I was at. I was empty on the inside. And in that emptiness, I was lost. In here, in this fellowship, coming in here, I felt like that. And there was times that I was learning how to put this program into my life, and I still felt an emptiness. And there is sometimes in recovery where there's something that is empty, that I'm always feeling something is missing, like there's still something. And so I continue to search and reach, ask my sponsor for more guidance because I don't have it all there. I'm not well. You know, I've just been in recovery for a long period of time, and I have not had a need to go back out. And because I've been guided through this process, you know, and it talks about in this passage, right, that, you know, the goals that I had in here today, right, it's about me giving hope back to the newcomer. About me helping out that newcomer that's walking through the door by showing them by what I do, right? What I'm doing today is that I continue to make meetings, right? I continue to do the step work. I listen to the newcomer. I have a total open-minded. I'm totally open-minded to the newcomer when they're sharing. I'm not sitting in here trying to analyze what you're saying. I am listening to where you at. Because that is my primary purpose, is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, right? And what is our message? Our message is hope, right? And if it's hope, then I need to be able to hear you and give you some information so that you can draw your own hope from that and hopefully just take it a little step forward and say, you know what, maybe, right? Like some people say, just maybe this program might have something to offer, right? And then a message is hope and a promise of freedom, right? But in order to get that freedom in here, you have to be able to do some work. There's some action that is required. You know, I have to be committed in here. There's some spiritual principles that I need to live. What is that? What was that, guys? I heard a crumbling. Anyway, so, you know, commitment, right? It requires commitment on my part, right? To be able to stay here and help somebody else, right? To extend my love, to extend the passion that was given to me, to show you love, right? And I'm going right into the spiritual principles in this fifth tradition, right? Because, again, let me just go to this. Our message is hope. And a promise of freedom that an addict, any addict, can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live, right? And if that's so, right, like I didn't know that in the beginning for myself. I didn't know that there was hope for me. I didn't know that you were going to love me the way you did. I was loved on. I'm telling you, women and the men. And I got to say the men were there more because there were more men at the time doing the work. And they did not cross the line. They just certainly guided me. They told me, this is what you need. You need a woman to sponsor you. Don't be lost in here. Don't worry. You don't need, just sit up front and just listen. And I took it that way, right? If I had you pushed all this on me, I probably would have ran out the room because I had dropped out of school at eighth grade. And I wasn't trying to come in here and get educated. I wasn't trying to hear and get, listen, I was not the trusted child. It wasn't going to invest in anything on me. So you could forget that, you know, I'm honest with the newcomer, right? A newcomer will ask me something. There's some things that, you know, that I just know as a woman that has a good judgment, right, of what they're saying. I'm not going to say something that I know is going to run them out of here because there's some stuff that newcomers ask, and sometimes it's just too painful. So I had to have good discernment, right? To be able to speak to that newcomer in a way where it's gentle, where it's coming from my heart, where I'm giving them the time that they need and guide them. If I can't help them, guide them to somebody who could, right? I have good discernment. That was the word I was looking for. Discernment of other members as well, more experienced members. I can look at a member in here right now, and if somebody tells me, there's some members that it's almost like it's just automatic. Like I know what how this member can help that member because I don't sponsor men. Right? So there's some men that come up to me because they've got some relationship issues because I'm in a long-term relationship and my relationship has been very successful. You know, just recently celebrated my 25th silver wedding anniversary with my spouse. But the principle of commitment again, right? Played a big part in that, right? Service, right? I still do service, right? I have a meeting, you know, I have multiple groups that I one of them I'm an H&I, one of them I'm a GSR. I chair a meeting on Sunday mornings. I have sponsees. I do step work with them. I make meetings, you know, like I'm retired. I retired at an early age. That was not my goal. Again, you know, the goals that are happening here in my life are happening because I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing it to the best of my abilities. Right. When I say that is because I want you to know that I fall short. Sometimes I'll say something that's not correct or do something or think in a way where like, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, okay. Something crosses my mind because I live with a disease called addiction. You know, the disease of addiction is a disease of the attitudes and personalities with a general negative outlook on life. It's rooted in fear, insecurities, and low self-esteem. And some of that stuff kicks in, you know, kicks up in me, you know. And, you know, the fact that I have this little accent, right, that sometimes bothers me. And don't laugh, Ronald. And, you know, sometimes it annoys me because some people say, like, what did you say? And it's because, you know, I sometimes say certain things that I'm like, my husband tells me all the time, what did you say? He tells me all the time, what did you say? But he understands me. So, you know, my purpose, you know, what is my purpose here? Right? I wish I could walk away from this and just keep it all to myself because this is so beautiful what we have. I have never in my entire life, like I didn't even know that this existed. Like I didn't know that I could find a higher power, something. I didn't know that that was there with me all along, that had been carrying me through my entire life. That there was times, and I remember running through the buildings and landing I was on a fourth floor, or third floor. I don't know where I was at. I know I was in a building, an abandoned building, running through, and I was on a beam, literally on a beam, running through a beam because I thought I heard the cops, and I landed on the second floor, and I remember kneeling myself down. I'm talking about the pain. I have to remember just because I've been here for that length of time doesn't mean that I got this going on. I have to remember the pain, and I remember it well. I remember landing on the second floor, and it was real dark, and I was so paranoid that I thought I heard chains and keys, and I thought it was the police coming after me. And I'm telling you, I landed on the second floor, and I remember scraping my leg, and I was in the fetal position, and the cop went. Somebody was, I don't know if it was a cop, but to me it was a cop. I didn't see it. I just heard chains. I could have been paranoid. I don't know. I could have been thought I saw something there, but I do remember somebody urinated on me and I stood there and I didn't even move because I was afraid. Like coming in here, I'm fearless in here. Like when I come in here to you guys, I feel so safe. I feel so safe. Like, in the literature, this says that there's a sense, when I come into these rooms, right? There's a, here it goes. Carrying the message is what matters. We see it in our meetings. When an empty room is transformed into an atmosphere of warmth and empathy, like when I come in here, I feel that, you know, like sometimes I'm out there and things are going on and it's not so big. It's just things that, you know, normal day-to-day affairs, things that happen in our lives, things that I have no control over, right? I have no control over my children. I have no control over like what is going on with my husband, with his job, and he can be all over the place because he knows he has to do some things, and then I can get a little agitated with that but I got powerless, right? And then sometimes I need to like go to a meeting. I'm like, oh my God, I need to get away from all that busy world that's outside of me right now going on. It has nothing to do with me, but I bring myself into that place where I just get overwhelmed. Because it's a part of my life. Like today I have a spouse that is a part of my life. And I know that everything I do at home revolves around him. Everything I do here revolves around you people, right? I have to come in here and remember what my primary purpose is here, right? That I lead by example. That if you ask me for help, that I lend a helping hand. That I don't sit in the back and think that I got it like this and I got, no. That I reach out to that newcomer. Like, well, we have, one of our home groups is the Miracles of Life 4-step workshop, and it meets in Brooklyn. And, whatever member comes in, whenever I see somebody new, I go to that newcomer. I go to that member. You know, I have recently, and this recently happened, where there was a young lady there, and the minute I held her, she was rattling in my arms, and oh my goodness, and I knew exactly how she felt, right? That feeling of empathy, like I was able to understand where she was at, and that gave me like, oh my God, like great joy just to hold her in my arms and know that, you know, and I was able to whisper in her ear, it's okay, sweetie, you know, that's what we're talking about, right? Carrying the message in action, right? Like giving it back, right? In a way that only a touch, I didn't even need to say anything to her. She just knew. And she said, what do I do now? I said, you don't have to do anything. Just sit down and just listen, you know? And then she said, she waved at me from a distance. And I said, yes. And she said, can I have your number? I said, absolutely. You know, so that's what we do, right? When we're talking about carrying the message, we're talking about, I can read this whole thing and sound beautiful, but how am I practicing this into my life? How do I have this in my life, right? I'm committed to doing the work. I love on other members. I have a sponsor. I listen to my sponsor. I don't do anything other than what my sponsor. I always ask my sponsor, hey, sponsor, what's going on? I need help with this here, right? Consistency and recovery is important for me. In order to be able to carry a message, right? To carry a message, you have to know what the message is, and you have to be able to live it out as well. I'm a woman that has integrity. I am loyal, you know what I'm saying, to my sponsees. When they call me, I tell them, if I can't get back to you right now, I promise that I will step aside and I will do what I can. And I do that, you know, and I follow up. Listen, I have a binder with their names on it and where their step work is at, and like, how committed am I to them, right? That's important to me, right? To love them no matter where they are. It's not my business. Whatever they're doing, and I don't want to be specific, but wherever they are in their recovery, if it's not based on spiritual principles, my job is to be able to guide them to those spiritual principles, or lead them to understand what spiritual principle you are not applying that's going to help you to transform you from that to that. You know, I know one thing that has been working with a lot of the sponsors is do a 90 and 90 in this area. Do a 90 and 90 in this area. Give yourself a break. Do a 90. We're not talking about a drug now. We're talking about obsessive and compulsive behaviors, because we're not addicts because we use drugs. If you've been here for a while and you put the drug down, you understand that this is a program of change, right? Our thoughts, our behaviors, I mean, from time to time, we can fall into a trap, into a place where, like, it wakes up again, that disease, in a way that is manifested and is hurting. It can hurt somebody else, right? Because I have had that happen, right, where I have said it's something and somebody else had felt that it has something to do with them, and I said, it has nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with me. You know, I'm just sharing what happened, because sometimes we cannot, you know, we identify with people, right? And people, like, we're not alone, right? I always thought that I was the only one that lived the experiences that I lived, that I was the only, that I wasn't loved, that I didn't have a God in my life, that nobody cared, that I would never change. I only thought that that was me, and I came here and I saw that I was not alone. You know, I've seen people in here become members of big corporations and change their lives. And that's not what this program is about. But they're talking about the principles that they're practicing in their life as a result of coming in here, because they didn't know at one time what having a commitment was. They just knew they had to go to work and make money to get the next one. Come in here, you know, you got to work and you got to make money and you want to keep your home. You better pay the mortgage. You better pay the mortgage, because they ain't going to tell you easy does it. That's for sure. So you know, you got to work. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I feel safe in here. You know, this is a program of hope. It has opened many avenues in my life. I've been able to have a second child. You know, I remember when trying to conceive and have one child, the first child, it was, I had trouble, but at the second one, I didn't think that I could, and I took some steps in my life that guided me into a more spiritual life, and I did some praying, and I didn't ask God for a child. I did not ask for that. I said, God, I know, you know, I always felt, because I had messed up with my first child, which was from a previous person, that I would be punished for what I had done. And then trying to avoid that pregnancy, I felt horrible. And I lived with guilt as a result of that. And through doing the process and understanding that somebody else that carried a message to me and told me and gave me hope, right? Somebody else that had more experience and said, listen, there's hope for you. Listen, you can live. You don't worry about that. God will give you what you need. And giving me these little things that gave me some hope. I was able to draw hope from that. Somebody that was carrying a message in a very subtle way, but with a lot of compassion. And then they said to me, don't worry about that. God will never give you more than you can handle. And I went one day to this doctor and he said, you're having a baby. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, you're having a baby. Oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me. And I couldn't just wait to tell my husband, and he was overjoyed. And you know, and this doesn't happen for everybody, but these are things that our lives, as a result of staying clean and living a good life and following this way of life, right? The new way of life for me is staying clean, following direction, staying committed, making meetings. I make 2 meetings a day. I make one at 10 o'clock in the morning and one in the evening. That's just for me. I'm retired, so I can do that. You have to find your balance, whatever is a good balance for you. I have never stepped away from the fellowship. I cannot say that. I have been committed, and I have to write this down because I'm getting older and I forget my clean time. But 32 years, 4 months, and 21 days. And, you know, I'm grateful for what this program has done for me. You know, it has changed my life. The biggest gratitude that I have is knowing that I have a passion for another human being. Knowing that I could love somebody else right where they are, that gives me great gratitude that my heart has changed from being so self-obsessed to becoming more loving and caring for another human being, where it's not about me anymore. It's about you. It's about the new member. It also the old timer that sometimes sits in here, doesn't reach out to the sponsor enough. Oh, I know that my life has been so busy, but because I hear it all the time. I've been so busy, Lucy, I don't know how to get back on track. Call your sponsor. I don't know what to, just call them. Call your sponsor. I let them know, you know what? You're working, you know, your own program, right? They used to tell us that if you have yourself as a sponsor, you have a fool for a sponsor, you know? And, you know, I don't try to sponsor myself. I don't try to do anything on my own. I run everything by my sponsor. I am aware of my surroundings. I don't go around people, places, and things. That could be right up in here, too. I am not a part of the drama and the gossip. I want to hear it. I don't got time for that. My life is so good that I'm just enjoying the fruits and the labor of the love that I've been experiencing in here. You know, like just watching. Like I have seen members coming here with no clean time, right? And watch them detox, watch them get clean, watch them do what they do, and just transform a year later, like a whole different person, right? I'm not the woman that I used to be. Nothing. I thought I was going to die. That the end of my road was I thought I was going to die in that way. You know, little did I know that I would be in a program with so many people just like myself. With so many people with so much experience. Like I hear these men and women were reading this literature, like they don't even got to look at this. They just paraphrase it, but they living it too. Not just reading it, just living it, living the program, carrying the message, knowing that you got to carry a clear Narcotics Anonymous message. That I only go to one program, right? I don't go to any other program. This is the only program that has worked for me. I did go to another fellowship. I got kicked out of there, so I knew that I didn't want to be there, right? So if I'm not welcome there, I'm not going back there. It was just that simple, you know? And you know, I just want to say before I end that, you know, I know that I have a responsibility in this fellowship. I know that I have to be committed, continue to be committed to what I do. Commitment is important. you know, not only commitments, but being committed to what I do, right? If I want to live this way of life, I have experienced that when I stay away for like 2 or 3 days away from the fellowship and don't listen to meetings, something weird starts to happen to me. So I know there's a problem with me. You don't even need to tell me anymore that I got a problem. I know I have a problem because of when I'm home, my attitude, everything comes back because I don't feel that balance. I feel something is off, and that's usually what's missing, you know. I've been able to find a God in here. I didn't have a God, you know. I had no understanding of a higher power. I didn't come in with any of that. I got a little bit from everybody in here, and I know how it lives in my life because I feel it all around me. I know what I have in my heart. I have love for other people. NA is all about love, you know. Give somebody a hug at the door and you see how that person feels for the first time. If they rattle in your hands like they did in my arms, you will feel what I felt, you know. And that's all I have to share. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, I'm an addict. My name is Henry. And my topic also is driven by a sense of purpose. All right. I'd also like to thank the HACA committee for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. I'm very grateful for Narcotics Anonymous and what it has given me. Probably the number one thing I want to start with, other than the tremendous amount of gratitude, is nowhere else yet in my life have I felt the unconditional love of Narcotics Anonymous anywhere. So Lucia's talking about that hug, right? That hug that I received from Narcotics Anonymous, I does not even feel the same kind of hug from my own mother or anyone else, right, that I've experienced yet. All I knew were conditions, right? Conditions to that love. Or conditions in my addiction. And that's why I had to do whatever I needed to do to get one more, whatever that was. So much so that like that spiritual and emotional scarring, right, that happened, that I find out later in these traditions that can only, right, seems to be repaired by a spiritual nature of the, you know, as far as recovery is concerned, as far as that higher power repairing that deep-rooted spiritual scar that I didn't even know that I had, right? Because that love that you're giving me is that creative spirit, you know, the creative action of the spirit within you that you're giving, right? That hug that you're giving, that I'm receiving from you, I got hooked really quick, right? When you were sharing, you know, you told me go to the meeting. So when you were sharing that primary purpose and that hug was that first introduction, thank God, right, that was it. You didn't give me a to-do, you didn't give me an H&I to-do and not to-do list, right? You didn't give me the do's and don'ts, right, of NA. You were sharing your primary purpose, but in H&I, that's where I actually heard it, right? And that's the first time I didn't know what it was, so I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, but that was the first time I experienced Narcotics Anonymous fulfilling that primary purpose from that group and on. Now, they couldn't hug me in H&I, right? But I ran to the meeting that was strongly suggested, right? They said, come find us, right? And I thought they literally meant them, the people in the panel, right? I was like, okay. So, like, where are you, right? And they give me this first tool. It was a really cool tool, right? A meeting schedule, right? But I thought they were always messing with me because they couldn't give me their names and numbers. They just gave me this big list of a bunch of meetings. It's like, all right, I guess I'll have to go to all of them. And it didn't take me long to find these individuals. I said, all right, I found you. Now what? Right? You give me this hug. You give me all this hope. Now what? They're like, please keep coming back. Right? And I'm continuing to engage. You know, I'm driven by a different form. Right? I'm driven by this obsession and this compulsion. I'm driven by this. You know, it's not removed yet, right? But I'm coming back, and you're telling me, please come back clean. And as I'm doing so, something is happening, right? And I'm continuing to listen to these suggestions. But along the way, you're not just telling me, right? That was the biggest part, was that like people could always say something, right, to a point, but then it was the action that I always had a tendency to pay attention to. What are you really doing? Where's the catch, right? I don't know anything too much about trust in that process until I experienced that trust. So you're actually engaging your program that is, and I'm just like, so monkey see, monkey do is what they told me. So like, that's what I'm trying to do. But I'm trying to do this in the first 90 days of my recovery with like three different sponsors, right? And I'm like, oh, it's him, not me. Next. Oh, it's him, not me. And by the time I get to that fourth sponsor, that's when it says, do you think it could be you, Henry? You think maybe that this program's not working because you have unrealistic expectations? That maybe this sense of purpose isn't quite aligning with your selfish and self-centeredness, right? And I was like, and that's what I loved about, that's what I love till this day about Narcotics Anonymous is you're never telling me, oh, you're doing it wrong. You say things like, try it. And I was like, this, and I try it, and then I keep coming back. And then you're like, stop looking for angels and start looking for angles, right? Change your perspective. And I didn't know how to do that. So how do I do that? It's like, well, have you tried actively listening to our primary purpose? Like, what does that mean, right? It took me a long time. It took me 18 months to say three words. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But I was really good at saying I know. But I didn't know about, you know, this primary purpose. I was just kind of watching it. You know what I mean? And I'm working steps. And it was somewhere around 18 months when I first heard all the readings, like actually heard them, right? And someone was sharing in the lobby earlier today about when that switch turns on in our recovery, much like that same switch that turned on in our active addiction, right? It wasn't the first time we were used. It wasn't the second time, right? I'm definitely a slow learner and a fast forgetter. I could relate to that part. But there was something there at 18 months that I experienced where I couldn't not hear you anymore. I couldn't hear your spirit hurting when you shared. So then I'm being introduced to like this primary purpose of like how empathy works with us, not against us. Asking for help is a strength, not a weakness. And so I'm like, okay, right? And so like y'all are slowly showing me and helping me driven, right? Get this transportation, this mode of transportation of recovery. And that is the message that we share, right? And that hope and that freedom that comes from that. And I'm going along the way and I'm learning a lot of the two fundamental lessons that you said that you're going to learn at every meeting. What to do, what not to do, right? And as I kept coming back and trying to engage that, when I was reading this, there's two things that I keep praying as I'm trying to before I speak. And the two things that really jumped out the most was sponsorship and the service structure within NA, right? In any direction. And so I'm going to go ahead, and this is the one thing I thought was weird, but I prayed. This thing. Go ahead and get it out. Most of y'all probably already have it out. Okay? All right? There used to be a time where I did not like looking at the top of your head, but today I've accepted that, right? It has nothing to do with me, but someone, not my sponsor, but a sponsee brother in Dallas said, this is not a problem. This is a solution. And I was like, okay, I'll bite. What's that? He says, you know how you're sponsoring and either you'll tell your sponsor or your sponsee will tell you, I just don't have time. Don't have time. Life has gotten busy. Things are good. Yada, yada, yada. And instead of fighting the process, there's an amazing thing within our technology, within this phone. And I dare you, I challenge you to look it up right now. It's called screen time. On average, and it tells me every Sunday I get to feel two things, either shame, right, or surprise of how much screen time I have on this wonderful device. So if I'm used to average closer to like 8 hours a day, you're trying to tell me I have a full-time job on this, and I can't lie to my sponsor because I'm not talking to him for 8 hours, right? My sponsees know they're not talking to me because I'd be there. I'd say, oh, yeah, it matches up, 8 hours with you, 8 hours with me. No, it's not true. So you're trying to tell me I don't have time to do a meeting? I don't have time to do step work? I don't have time to be of service? Are you kidding me? Now, my sponsees have not shown me their phones in a while, right? But they also haven't told me I don't have any time. They're like, when can we process these steps, right? Or what meeting are we going to? Or when is that subcommittee meeting, right? Or my sponsor, you know, being very honest to the best of my ability, 6 months ago, I hadn't talked to my sponsor for over 30 days. He sent me a text. He says, Henry, I will reduce your sponsorship fees if you just call me, right? And I was like, holy crap. That is about as rough and tough as my sponsor will get with me as far as like a little bit of shake, right? He's in Florida. My sponsor and my sponsorship tree is very big, and we're all over the world. And for some reason, these men in my life have a tendency to get up and go, meaning they move in recovery because of the life they've been given by this recovery. And that was a big thing I had to work through because I suffered. Like the last time I saw my dad, I was 3. You know, and the last memory of him, and he, you know, and it was him kicking me across the room like a soccer ball. So anytime a man would get up and leave, I would lose my crap, right? And so there's a lot of men that came and went in my life to the point where when my sponsor left, it was the first time that I did not freak out, right? And that was another cool thing when it came to driven by a sense of purpose, the relationships with the higher power, the relationships with myself and others, the relationships particularly with my sponsor, saw this man as a father figure. He helped me learn how to be a father. And when he said he didn't know, he would say, I don't know. I was like, this is awesome. Why don't you go talk to this gentleman who has some more experience than I do? And I learned how to become a father to my son that I didn't even know exists till after I got into recovery. And then this is another interesting thing. Is these same men in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous helped me and showed me how to pay $32,000 worth of back child support that I didn't know I had until I knew I had it and not use. And then continue to be a productive member of society and pay current child support. Because I was like, what is this, right? And it's crazy, probably the one of the most fulfilling opportunities that I've gotten in employment was with a big box store making $214 every 2 weeks because I didn't know that the Attorney General found me and was taking all this money, but it didn't matter because I was clean. Because you said, hey, Henry, let's go to do some H&I. Okay, right? The freedom that we felt supersedes any of the shiny things that I've gotten in recovery till this day. Can I be distracted? Can my primary purpose driven, you know, be distracted by money, property, and prestige? Sure. As far as that Tradition 6 is concerned, and even says in Tradition 6, there really isn't an issue with these things until there is an issue with these things. And I've had both, right? You know, the most money I've ever made in my life was in recovery. The closest I ever got to killing myself clean was when I was making the most money I've ever made in recovery. Calling my sponsor in the middle of West Texas in the oil field saying, I don't want to live anymore. Please make this stop. And there's only one rule, if you want to call it that. One heavily suggested thing to respect. And that was, please do not call me from 12 to 5. He was a CPA or CFO of a company, still is or retired, but he still picked up the phone. Multiple days, it was definitely like 2 or something. There's only certain spots and streets in the oil field where like there was even reception way out towards Cthulhu in that way. And I don't know how many times the men in this program and some of the women have picked up that phone and have saved my life. And that's another part of that, driven by a sense of purpose with this thing, right? This walkie-talkie, this chain link that can't be broken because we communicate evolves, right? And so today, when it comes to that, when it comes to that communication of love, right, driven by a sense of purpose, it all falls down. All the masks, all the false walls, all the things that I've created, all the BS falls to the wayside. It does. There's no monster that I can create today that I can honestly say stands a chance to all of you, every one of you. But can any one of us fall like a domino? Sure. But when the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is engaged, right? So you're telling me I have legwork. I have to like do something. In the past 2 years, I think whatever excuse I had or any person I know that had an excuse, that's gone too, right? Whether it's through technology or some other fashion. I was talking with someone at Region, and they said, overnight, we found a way to have a meeting. No, we didn't have to have committees. We didn't have to further our sense of, or driven by a sense of purpose, or further our primary purpose. We didn't have to form any other committees. We just did what? Got on Zoom, right? It some of us did, some of us didn't. But we were not going to be not denied that access, that process to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. We definitely are really good. Well, I know I'm really good at two things when it comes to that. I will follow the path of least resistance sometimes, like water, right? To run away from personal responsibilities. But all it does, my sponsor reminds me, what you remind me is that my recovery is not linear. It's not a one-way street, right? If I keep going this way, I will see you on the other side, some people told me. So you give me the opportunity. This is the love and tolerance of Narcotics Anonymous I'm very grateful for, and that I get to show today because you showed it to me, that no matter where we are, the purpose doesn't change. It doesn't change. My sponsor and other people, they've never come up to me and said, hey, Henry, did you see they changed the steps? They changed the traditions? No, it keeps expanding. Are you kidding me? I'm like reading this book and I'm just like, okay, back to saying I don't know, I guess, as far as the guiding principles, right? I get to go through a whole book of saying, I don't know. I did not know this. I did not know this. Okay, more is being revealed. Yeah, all the stuff you told me when I got in continues on. If that gave me, it continues to give me so much hope that the program will work no matter what. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I found it. I found like the greatest thing that I've been looking for my whole entire life. This unlosable lottery ticket. Every time I scratch it, I win. Like nowhere else in the world can I go, right? And put a dollar in the basket and come out a winner. That's been my experience, right? Can I experience pain? Have I experienced pain? Yes. You didn't say you're going to take the pain away. You told me you're going to show me how to live a new way of life with the pain, with the child support. You also taught me things like how to respect myself and others during this process of the primary purpose. That you do not say your baby mama. You say the mother of your child. This matters. Whether you are the sponsor or the sponsee, whether you are the newcomer or the long timer, they said. It doesn't change. Even when I want it to. Even when I want to walk away from something, right? I want to walk away from a conversation sometimes. You ever been to a convention and someone grabs you? You're like, oh crap, I got caught, right? What I mean is they will talk you down, not down at you, but you feel like you're being whittled away by all this love and knowledge. You're like, I need to go to the restroom, but I do not want to disrespect one of my predecessors, right? And then my sponsor's like, you can say, thank you. I need to go to the restroom. So I'm learning boundaries within this process. I was really, 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 really not good at setting boundaries within Narcotics Anonymous while being driven by a sense of purpose. I thought it was just yes till the bitter end. And someone said, what if you said no to a dope dealer? What happens? Oh, shit. You mean I can say no and an A? So yeah, it's just one letter off. You go change that O to an A, you know, the A to an O, and you're okay. Like, you can keep coming back, Henry. So one of the first boundaries in service was that I could say no to that. And this is, what are your sponsees doing, right? Well, how does that work? How does this NA service structure work, driven by a sense of purpose? It's like, well, the spirit of rotation is there, right? How many of us come from an area that there's an open area position? How many people of us have an open position within our group? Or maybe we're full, but when's the last time the rotation happened? When's the last time we turned the clock a little bit? My sponsor reminds me, when's the last time you did a quarter turn, Henry? What's a quarter turn? Well, when you get to the top, it's time to go get off. Time to get off the merry-go-round. I'm like, okay. And I'm looking forward to learning from the newcomer. That has probably been the coolest teacher nowadays, is learning from the newcomer wherever they're at, while we, driven by a sense of purpose, can fulfill our primary purpose no matter what. And so me, instead of me taking lead, right? I'm not talking about like an H&I panel. I'm not saying, oh, well, 30 days, let's go. No, no, no. I'm talking about like step one, step two, step three. Instead of hearing them going through the step working guide, why don't I let them finish and like have no thoughts in my head? And just literally learn something about step one after, you know, 11 years. And when I'm able to practice that open-mindedness with new sponsees, that is like one of the greatest feelings of rejuvenating my battery in that sense of purpose. Outside of the NA structure, but within this fellowship, within the program itself. And it's a different kind of feeling. I promise you, it's new to me. I don't know if you've ever been able to experience that. And that doesn't mean, I thought it was just taking on a bunch of sponsees. No, it was really practicing these spiritual principles. One particularly is persistence, right? Or a different form of diligence at the fundamental level of step work. Because it's not talking about when we're doing the steps one more time, that deeper understanding, right? Well, for me, it's like a whole nother level when it comes to fulfilling that primary purpose that I thought it was another, I thought it was a whole different thing. I thought it was a whole different direction. But it really is that simple for me today. When it says gratitude in action is an engine for change. When engaging that gratitude on any level, guys, when have we not, or when have I not ever experienced that change? I continue to move forward in my recovery to get today, right? And I'm looking for a very clear path that I continue to get in the way. And as I'm letting go, this seems to be the only thing that seems to be working. As I'm letting go, right, and I allow this process to work in my life, and I have no idea where the time's going to come from. I literally have no idea. As I hear my higher power speaking to me, let's go. That's all I hear. Let's go. More gratitude. Let's go. And I keep getting filled up when I should be sleeping, right? I've never experienced this kind of clear primary purpose flowing ever in my life. And so whenever like I hear Lucy and hear these other individuals sharing such a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous, not only am I filled with tons of hope, I'm also looking for that R word she said, retirement, like on accident. So I look forward to accidentally retiring early. That's two R words, right? Knowing that all I get to do for the rest of my life is fulfill my primary purpose, right? Oh, darn, right? That's a retirement worth living for. What do you got to do today? Well, I get to go to two more meetings. I get to take my sponsee somewhere. I get to, and like, that's it, right? It's not, speaking with my Charles Schwab person, do I have enough money? Since when was money ever the thing, right? No. So when I get to hear that, I get to, that's a whole different level of clear, right, and present opportunity to just do that, right? That purpose, which talks about like a goal, that's a big part of my goal now, right? Found out 30 minutes ago, right? That wasn't there, right? I can do that? That can be happen? Retirement's a thing? In this economy? Well, apparently so, right? But that seems to be what Narcotics Anonymous has given us the most, right? Continue to crush our expectations, right? Continuing to lengthen that that list of blessings or the list of gifts we receive that we never expect to come, right? And all they're asking is to do the next right thing. Please keep coming back. Act in some form of goodwill, right, to yourself and the newcomer, that still suffering addict, even if that still suffering addict is you or you, right? And I'm so grateful for that. I can't experience that anywhere else. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's falling down, NA is not only the safest room for me to go, that you've also made it to where when I go home, that is the second safest place. And I didn't know, that was probably one of the coolest things, this is the last thing I'll share about and I'll be quiet, is that how important it is to have be driven by a sense of purpose, a goal of like when you go home, it is the safest place. No drama, right? A different G-O-D, right? Get out of drama. Like, it's always safe. No matter if I'm at odds with my wife who's in recovery, or I'm at odds with myself, or I'm at odds with anything, it is like the safest place. Even when I like see my dog has eaten half of the house, I can say, well, I have another half, right? Maybe I should get a kennel. Maybe, right? That safe place is what? Anything can happen in that safe place. I can be on a meeting online in that safe place. I can pray in this safe place. I can do step work in this safe place. And I'm so grateful for that because many of us don't have that yet. Many of us are looking for a safe place the other 23 hours outside of the meeting. That we don't want to go home to an abusive situation. We don't want to go home to an abusive neighborhood, much less, you know what I mean, this one spot. So I'm very grateful for that. But Narcotics Anonymous showed me how to have that and how important it was when setting those boundaries that was being talked about so I can serve that primary purpose. So I can go to that meeting and not be at the meeting worried about what's going on at home. Because I'll be distracted by that. I won't be able to give, nor will I be able to receive that life-saving message. I will mess up and not vet someone for H&I, and then I don't find out till we're sharing on a panel like, oh my God, this person needs to stop talking. Right? Stuff like that. So much so that it becomes so prevalent that I get to go back to, okay, Henry, time to go back to those basics. Time to go back to something as simple as, did I call my sponsor today? Did I go to a meeting today? Did I do step work today? Am I fulfilling my primary purpose just for today? Thank you for my recovery. That's all I got.